Welcome to Survival Mode Disrupted, the podcast for those who are done performing, done people pleasing, and done living life on autopilot. I'm your host, Leticia, the Survival Mode Disruptor, and this is where we create disruptive, unapologetic transformations for those who are ready to exit survival mode and reclaim their power. Every episode is your permission slip to burn the rule book, break the cycle, and finally build a life that feels like yours. So let's disrupt everything that's holding you back and start living life on your own terms. Welcome to Survival Mode Disrupted. This is your trigger warning. This podcast contains unfiltered conversations about trauma, abuse, and survival. Discretion is advised. This is not therapy or medical advice, just real people sharing real stories. So please take care of yourself and pause if you need to. If this conversation hits home, grab the book Survival Mode Exit Plan, your raw, unapologetic blueprint to break free. Available now by scanning the QR code or clicking the link in the comments. Hello, 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 and welcome back to another episode of Survival Mode Disrupted. I am Leticia, your Survival Mode Disruptor, and I am super excited to be here having another episode with you. And this week we have Chelsea. So Chelsea, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hi, thank you for having me. My name is Chelsea Elizabeth. I'm here surviving every day. Some days I'm thriving, most days I'm just surviving, but thrilled to be a part of this and share my experience in effort to help somebody through their survival mode.
I love it. I love it. So tell us your story to and through survival mode.
Okay, guys, sit down, buckle up. Here we go. Me, originally Tennessee farm girl. Living in Florida, animals, as you can imagine, my thing, my passion, animals, cows, you name it, dogs. As an adult, I began adopting Great Danes. Soon after the first one, I knew that I could not live without them and began working with different rescues, adopting Great Danes along the way. I have Amelia, who is sitting here waiting for her cameo. But I adopted a male, her brother. He was number 8. Of course, with Great Danes, as you can imagine, I'm very familiar. Know the breed, know the behavior, temperament. With this one, it was a couple of weeks into it. He became a little bit testy, not aggressive, just testy. And so he had just recently been neutered. So that wasn't anything that I wasn't too uncommon with. Unfortunately, a month after I had him, he turned on me one Sunday evening and came full speed at my face. He took the first bite here and the second bite here. And when I fell to the ground, I rolled over, grabbed my neck, and he's, you know, on a good day, I'm 100 pounds. He was about 175. His teeth, of course, the bite was quite strong. And anytime he would bite, tissue would be removed. And so I could see my hair, my ears, things laying beside me, dangling. In my mind, I remember the attack very different than what a lot of video revealed. So I'm having to kind of rewind. Part of my healing was rewinding, watching the doorbell camera video, looking at the photos from animal control and the police and putting things together. But in my mind, it was black of night and I held my neck and crawled to the back sliding glass doors and, you know, 1, 2, 3, pulled it open. that wasn't what happened. It was early evening, broad daylight, August. And the door doesn't reveal a 1, 2, 3 open. The doorbell cameras don't reveal that I actually ever shut the door, because when my neighbors found me, the next shot is the dog in the camera. So the first miracle here is that I made it out of the house. The second, my neighbors found me before the dog found me again. I remember sitting in their house, and I also remember feeling like I was floating, and the lights became just a glow. And so my world became bright but dark. And the noise, instead of being words, it was just noise, white noise, brown noise, pink noise, no noise that really had any level of comprehension to it. Light noise is the best way, in floating, submerged in water, floating. However, on the way to the hospital, I remember holding what I thought was the EMT's hand. There was nobody on my right side, only on the left. I remember seeing somebody sitting on the counter in the house. Nobody sitting there. On the paperwork, I did time out 3 times. I was taken, of course, this trauma code into the ER, and had a fantastic surgeon that stapled and put me back together. And they sent me to ICU. What they told my parents was they sent me to ICU with a blood clot, not knowing if or when I would throw the blood clot. I'm a MRSA girl, had MRSA in the bone, and they said if I survived the blood clot, likely contracted MRSA. If it's in the bone, it swims in your body forever. So not too many people gave me too much more hope to ever leave. And day by day, I kept hanging around. Ended up going in for major plastic surgery, where they pieced together what was 5 feet of tissue, as my surgeon describes it, fitting a puzzle with no pieces back together. I had 8 Penrose strains, no hair, of course, skin that was dying or dead. And was sent from ICU to trauma step down, where I hung out for a while, finally being released to home health, with what they thought was dead tissue, back for skin grafts, probably back with more infections. It was wound care every 2 days. Well, home health, I was there every day. They were here every day. And that was 3 weeks. So 6 weeks later, I get to go to wound care, and there every 2 days, staggered down to every 3 days, where I got to 4, et cetera. And each time I would show up, my surgeons, my trauma team, huh, well, okay, we'll just keep checking. And in disbelief, after some time, I made a full recovery, full by full recovery. No skin grafts, no dead tissue. Obviously, I'm alive and well. No recurring health problems from any of it. No sign of a blood clot. Yep, that is definitely the miracle for sure. Absolutely. But I sat when the noise stopped and wondered, what now? What, why? The question why just bounced in my mind. Why did it happen? Why did I miss 5 months of life? Why can't I go back to that life I knew? Where are these people? Where are these places? What happened? And one day, driving home, I realized that, yeah, my life had to take a time out for several months. But it was only my life that took the time out. Nobody else had to stop. Nobody else had to pull away from the norm. Life kept moving without me. And that was the first time I felt completely shattered, alone, and broken. There was no life for for me to return to. I had survived this great trauma and no life left to jump back into. So for, I guess, another 6 months, really spun around in the what's next, the why, where's the purpose? You know, God, why haven't you shown me why this happened? You know, I'm waiting on this harp to play, my purpose to fall from the sky, and nothing's happening. And it finally came that all these notes that I had been taking, everything that I had written down, everything that I was longing for, can't possibly just be me that needs this. Can't possibly be me that needs a circle of friends, a community, positivity, therapy, help. I can't be the only one that's alone. And so I began writing and writing until I had a complete manuscript. And I wasn't done there. I wasn't going to allow anyone else to be as lonely and empty and confused as I was. And so I built a curriculum for a peer therapy nonprofit, built a training manual, want to build this nonprofit and give all of us a place to heal. Because number one, some misconceptions, trauma, PTSD, grief, not curable. We have to walk through it day by day. There is no magic pill, potion, patch, anything else. We have to heal every single day. And the only way to heal is to find those people that truly understand the emotion behind our words. Because I was speaking to so many people and they're like, huh, I don't get it. Of course they don't get it. I'm glad they don't get it. But I'd need somebody to get it. And so I built that and hope to get the book published and hope to bring this nonprofit, this curriculum, into practices across the world so that we can heal together and we can smile and we can say, oh, I'm not as crazy as I thought. How many of us sit around thinking, I've got to be crazy. I am crazy. Nope, you're not. Let me tell you, you're really, really not. Nope. And so my trauma became a passion to save others from the pain I felt. And it has been rewarding to see people light up and feel again. And just feel.
I resonate with you saying your trauma became like a huge part of who you are and your source to help others, right? I actually believe that's what self-actualization is. Like, we've been fed this pyramid, you know, get through this, get safety, get love, get this, get that, and then you're self-actualized. But I actually think it is that, just that, being able to take the journey and then reach back. I remember coming to terms with my own trauma, and someone said to me, your struggle today is the masterclass for someone tomorrow. And that really stuck with me, right? So let's go back to some of the things that you said. You mentioned how inaccurate your memory was.
Yes.
And I actually find that very interesting because we tend to anchor into our thought process and we often don't challenge it, right?
Yeah.
You've had this massive trauma recorded on video and you are recalling something completely different. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is because our brain has this pretty amazing way of compartmentalizing our trauma. And in doing so, we often pick up inaccurate narratives.
Yep, we do. We do. 100%. I could not agree with that statement more. Our brain has the capability, the capacity, and the know-how to place that trauma in a safe place and to make that trauma seem, feel, look as though it wasn't as bad as what it was. And one thing that we fail to do when that happens, it's not if, it's when that happens, we invalidate ourselves. So we are telling ourselves, no, it was not like that. No, that didn't happen. And we cannot heal from something we're not allowing ourselves to believe. We are feeding ourselves lies, and it's easy to say, someone on the outside has invalidated our emotions. But to have to admit to yourself that you, in fact, were the one that invalidated your own crises, that is a lifetime of no forward progress. That is a lifetime stuck. And oftentimes, as a result, anger, frustration, sadness, depression is the result. It wasn't until I began saying out loud to other people what happened to me that I started to believe my own story. Because I'm not kidding. I would tell people what would happen, and I would step away and think that I was lying. I would check myself. And no, it wasn't that I was lying. It was that I wasn't willing to believe my own story. I wasn't able to admit that that had happened.
I talk about this often on the podcast that there are three phases to accident survival mode. And the first one is awareness. And that is basically what you are speaking about, right? Like I describe it as a lighthouse, in the middle of a very dark ocean. All of a sudden, this beacon of light gives us the opportunity to see what's in front of us, what's to the left and right, and what's behind us. And then it also gives us the opportunity to navigate our path differently because of what we see. But oftentimes, the reason why we stay stuck is because we literally don't have an awareness. And because of how our brain works, does it to keep us safe, but it also keeps us in the dark, which then perpetuates the trauma, which we often don't identify with, right? Like I have heard so many people come on this podcast and talk about, I actually didn't recognize that I had been traumatized. And I am not saying that we all have to carry the identity of being traumatized.
No, not at all.
However, the acknowledgement of that is the beginning of our freedom.
It certainly is. We have to accept the fact that what we never wanted to happen happened. And we have to start moving a different way. What I had to do, I had to grieve my own death while I was alive. Because that life that I used to have, the places I used to go, the people I used to see, it's gone. That life wasn't there anymore. So I had to grieve my own death. I had to let go of the false idea that this promise, this reason, purpose was going to fall from the sky. And I had to keep walking forward through the yuck of it, just the yuck of it. And as I did, the true trauma wasn't the traumatic event. It was horrible, yes, but that's physical. And there's a difference between physical and emotional. I wasn't afraid of dogs. I still have Amelia. I still have, her. I couldn't make myself be afraid of dogs, but I was still traumatized, and I had to figure out why. What is wrong with me? That's where the whole am I crazy thing came from. But no, the trauma was everything that came after it. Being in the healthcare system, waiting on insurance to say I could have this done, get this done. I was at the mercy of the hospital. I was friends I thought I had were gone. There was a lot of abandonment. There were a lot of people that just wanted to come by and catch a peek at the girl that once was pretty, with, the way she was now. It was the people and the things that came after that caused the trauma. It was, and that's what I had to begin accepting and working through is how not to allow that to take down what I've already built up. And I had to have the courage to step back out. I mean, woman in her 40s, I'm like, can we be friends? You really have to find that new circle that you can trust. And it's very hard to trust again. I think that's the lonely part of it. What happens if I tell them this, that, or the other? And that's, I searched high and low for any kind of group therapy, anybody. I'm like, can you find me? Nothing. And so it was in that void that I thought, okay, well, I'm going to figure this out so that nobody else has to.
You mentioned that you spent time seeking the life to return to you, right? And I hear that a lot with unhealed trauma victims. And I say that because in our healing, there's this reconciliation that we don't go back to who we were before the trauma. And that is essentially the third phase, in my opinion, of ex escaping survival mode, is this sense of reinvention. In order to survive, not just the events, but the sequence of events that came as a result of your attack, you had to become someone new.
Oh, yeah.
And the woman you became isn't the woman who thrives now. It's the woman that kept you alive. And oftentimes we hold on to this identity with the fallacy that one day I'm going to go back. And it's not backwards, it's forwards, right? You cannot go back to who you were before the event because essentially the event changed you. And it changed you on an emotional level, a physical level. You know, it changes you, trauma changes you biologically.
The nervous
So
system sure does.
yeah, it changes your nervous system. It can compounded trauma can essentially change your DNA. So seeking that pre-trauma person often keeps us stuck as well.
Yep, because there's a lot of it that we want to go back to. There's a lot of that person we miss and we love. There are a lot of those relationships that we want to redo. That I think it's the relationship for me that was a lot of the difficult part because that's where most of the trauma comes from, is that abandonment, that false sense of being loved and cared about and your life mattering. And when you come out of it, you want that back. You need it. And you're not willing to admit that it never existed and it's not still there. And yeah, that's when the lonely walk of finding new places, new circles, new things you enjoy doing. The things I enjoyed then, I don't now. Never in my life would I have imagined sitting down, writing two books, a curriculum, two business plans. I mean, I've got a computer full of anything and everything you could want or imagine that I'm ready to implement and publish. Never would I have taken the time because I didn't have the passion for it then that I do today. And it does, it changes the way that that changes the way you feel about anything, life, yourself. Relationship, everything has for me become more valuable. Time, company, relationship, that's priority because we have this much time. And when that time is almost up, you think it's up? You know what I was thinking about? My parents, my family, my friends, people I wanted to just see one more time. Say one more time, I love you. Not about the job, the status, the money in the bank, where I lived, what people thought. No, it was the love. That was the only thing you think about. And being able to just have it again. And it does, it rewires and reprioritizes your entire life. And no one on the outside, okay, another revelation that I've made recently is those who loved us and cared about us that are still here today and had to go through that have their own trauma and their own capacity for which they can carry it. Okay, you're somebody that they loved. You had the trauma, you're going through this trauma. Don't forget, they also had their version of it. My mom cannot go there again. She doesn't want to hear the podcast. She cannot read the book. She doesn't want to see the pictures. I get that. I respect it. It is all consuming for her. She is proud of the work, the effort, but can't let her mind go back and revisit that. My dad, same thing. He was the one that could talk to the doctors and hear everything, but he is not one to bring it up in conversation. And so I know that it's difficult to him. Friends, relationship, everything else, they are handling it the best they know how. And so creating those new relationships is vital, vital. Because your family, your friends, the people that had their own trauma with yours, they can't heal in the same way that you can. And that was very hard because it's, if you can't go to your mom and dad and talk, who do you have, where do you go? I mean, those are, for most of us, the two people, spouse. And so we have to create those new relationships that give us a safe place to purge the emotion in the words.
I think you bring up a very interesting point, right? Like, one of the things that we are often telling our victims of trauma or survivors of trauma is to give themselves grace. The healing process is rough and tough. I mean, you have to give yourself grace and time. But those who journey with you are traumatized as well. And oftentimes, we expect them to be our pillars, without recognizing that they are experiencing their own level of trauma as a result of what we've been through. And being in a space to also give grace to them as well is key. And it's key in being able to reestablish a relationship, because again, like, it's similar to the concept that you can't go back to who you were. And if you can't go back to who you were, you are now showing up differently in your relationships. And you have to then spend time reestablishing that borderline, that space, because you've changed, they've changed, everyone has changed as a result of this traumatic event. And it's okay.
It is. It is okay. I survival and denial, they play a tug of war. They do the entire time. Denial is very easy. And we all admit things in our own time. And just because I got to it quicker than somebody else did. If they're family, if they're close, if they're a spouse, friend, that makes it very difficult to have a very effective conversation. Communication is broken. Communication and comprehension are redirected. because I had somebody very close to me. When I would explain different things, it was as if I was speaking a foreign language. And I learned that this is not something that I can communicate. I've got to find a different ear to talk to, because they are not there yet. And that's hard, especially when that person is close to you and you can't confide, you can't break down, you're misunderstood. That's where the harm is. And I don't think there's any of us out there that haven't had a similar experience with that in any kind of way.
Which is why it's important for us to be willing to build a different community, right? Like, I believe healing, our healing, it may seem like a solo venture, but being able to create a community around us that support us in the way that we need to be supported, even if it looks differently from the community that we once had, I think is key. And you did mention that, like you said, I had to go find a community. I needed something because the abandonment, the loneliness, like that space of being completely alone, it wasn't conducive for you.
No, I am definitely type A social. I'm very athletic, active. I love the energy from other people, most energies from other people, of course, but I could not stay in the house, and not before, not then, not now. It's just not in my nature to isolate. And that was the hardest part is, okay, well, what if my wig falls off? What if they point out, something? My own insecurities. It was never that anyone else was picking me apart or seeing what was wrong or broken. They didn't care. They just enjoyed my company, the motivation, especially working out. Here I am. I've never worked out so hard in my life. When you think it's gone forever, you're like, okay, no. They didn't know anything had happened until I told them. And then, of course, jaws dropped and, pins hit the floor. But I learned then that it didn't matter what was broken. They liked me. And this is that new me that I'm still getting used to wearing. And it was unfamiliar, but at the same time, very comfortable because I thought, okay, I'm not too old broken to make my way through life again. And the healing started then when I just, I call it, jumping off the cliff without a parachute. I'm hoping somebody will catch me. And sure enough, they did. And I started, telling a little bit of my story here and there. And before long, crowds of people wanted to hear the story. People were flagging me down, wanting me to sit down and have lunch with them so they could talk. And what I realized in that is my trauma is bloody and gory and yucky and plastic surgery. But my pain was identical to those who had been in active duty, those who had a sexual assault, those who had a breakup, loss of a pet, loss of a parent, spouse, you name it. And so I sat there and I thought, oh my goodness, we're all the same. And that was probably, I can, that was one of the top 10 days, best days of my life, is realizing that it's pain. And it doesn't matter the degree. It doesn't matter how bad it was. It is the same. It is the same. Childhood trauma, same pain. Breakup, same pain. Death of a dog, same pain. Same trauma. It changes us. It doesn't, and I hate that whole time heals all wounds. No, it
It's
does not.
nonsense.
Let me it's write it down now. Time does not change anything but your overall sense of who you are. It changes everything about you. It does not heal anything. You are healing every day that you get up and do something special for yourself. Walk out the door, go to work. Every day that you are getting out of bed and putting your feet on the ground, that is a day that you are healing. Time goes by. It gets easier because you're working in this new skin. You've got a little more broken in, but it's not going to heal you. We heal every day. And the whole what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Nope. Sorry, guys. That changes you too. I'm not stronger than I was before. I'm different. I'm different. I'm the same level of feisty as I was then. You know, I'm still the same level of active activities, etc. Not stronger. I'm different. I'm different.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, let's not fool ourselves by all of these sayings. And you know, whoever's behind it, I mean no harm, but it's not true for us. And don't set us up for failure. Don't tell me I'm going to be healed when I know good and well there's not going to be a day that goes by that I don't know what happened, that I don't know where I was. So no, let's not set anybody up for failure. Let's set ourselves up to win. And I'm telling you, good days, bad days, worst days. It really is just a mixed bag. And out of the blue, the memory will hit. And that's how it happens. There's no stopping it. There's just the getting through it. And so, you know, if anybody takes anything from this message, if it's been decades and you're still hurting, good. It means you really loved whatever it was that you lost. And that's a good thing because you have heart and soul. And yeah, just be grateful in anything and everything that you can find in it. And keep stepping forward. And find me. I am always willing to talk. And I will tell you the good days and the bad days. Oh, they come. And sometimes they come multiple times in one day. Sometimes I'm just a roller coaster of emotion. But we're supposed to be, because what happened, what we went through, what we've overcome is valuable, valuable, and it needs to be recognized as such. We as humans, we love. We don't like to admit that we love, but we love. We have so much love, and we need love, and we need to give love. And if something hurt, that's love. That's love.
You mentioned so many things as we start wrapping up the conversation, but what I think is really important, and one of the reasons why I started this podcast, is there is this fallacy that, you know, trauma has degrees, and, you know, someone is worse off than you because of what they went through. But when it, what it all boils down to is the way that trauma shows up in our body, the way that we react to the trauma, it is almost uniform. Like even having these discussions about people in survival mode, it's all the same, which is why these conversations are so important, because I want people to recognize that you don't have to have massive big T trauma. I remember someone saying to me, oh, well, trauma is only like when you've been raped, or, you know, no, we are traumatized by even the smallest of events. And it's just not having that recognition and not knowing how to move beyond the trauma, which often keeps us stuck.
Yeah, so, trauma is any kind of life change. Any kind of life change. If yesterday isn't what today is, and it was memorable and monumental to you, yeah, that's a trauma, because it changed your life. And, you know, any kind of, I mean, a job change, something as simple as job change, relocation. Sorry, it is. And so I never want anyone to sit there and say, oh, well, I didn't almost lose my life, so that's not a big deal. No, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. Don't let anybody tell you that it's not. And don't harbor all of that emotion alone. Just don't. I mean, Until I started digging through it, I didn't realize how traumatizing the death of my grandmother was. We were very close. And again, we compartmentalize and say, okay, well, she's better off. She's happier. She was sick. No, let's not make excuses. Let's not justify. Let's say, you know what? That hurt. And 12 years later, I'm still hurting. I still miss her. I still want to have the conversations. We don't have to have the big T. You're exactly right. Nope. And we're all the same.
Absolutely. I really enjoyed this conversation, Chelsea. So tell us where we can connect with you, how we can connect with you.
Oh, I am on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, X. Where else am I? I have a YouTube channel. So please connect with me on all those. Facebook, you can find me under Chelsea Elizabeth. On YouTube, you can find We Heal Together with Chelsea, Healing from Trauma Together. We Heal. Let's see, LinkedIn, all those. I will share those links with you. I can't even think of them off the top of my head. But I will share those with you and people. I would love for you to connect. What I want is to open just a safe platform to share stories, and in a safe way, anonymously, who you are, just start the conversation and normalize emotion. Humanize human emotion. When did we get this like timestamp on how long we could, show emotion or take time off work after a death or a birth? It's let's humanize ourselves and normalize emotion that fits.
And the processing of emotion, because we don't always process, we don't always acknowledge, we tend to ignore and just keep moving forward.
Oh, yeah. No,
Thank you.
my emotion came out for the better part of a year as anger. I was angry, but I wasn't angry. And so we get those emotions all twisted up. So yeah, it's definitely important. And I'll share those links with you so everybody can find me. I hope to, talk to everyone, all your viewers, and I have thoroughly enjoyed being on your show.
Thank you so much for your time. Listeners, thank you so much for catching another episode of Survival Mode Disrupted. And I just want to remind you, you were not built to break. You damn sure were not built to just survive. So disrupt the cycle, reclaim your life, and thrive on your own terms. And I will see you next week.